Thank you and good afternoon. I feel kind of like Notre Dame felt after the Alabama. I'm a little humbled by representing Georgia at the tail end of what's been the Texas Tech show this afternoon. But my congratulations to Jeff and all your colleagues from Texas Tech on the work that you're doing. I want to spend a little bit of time with you this afternoon, just a few minutes on sharing with you some thoughts that I have on kind of where Georgia Cotton is headed. Since the elimination of single gene Bolgard cotton, I want to acknowledge my co-authors here, Amanda Smith, who is a co-worker with me in Ag and Applied Economics, Stanley Culpepper, Guy Collins, and Jared Whitaker, who were in the Crop and Soil Sciences Department, and Philip Roberts in the Entomology Department, all of those located at the UGA Tipton campus. To give you a brief background of the situation, the EPA registration for single gene Bolgard technology expired with the 2009 crop. Growers were allowed to plant single gene BT technology in 2010, but only from any remaining seed stocks in inventory that were left over from manufacturers from the 2009 crop year. Beginning with 2011, producers had to switch away from single gene technology. It was no longer there. You had to go to a two gene technology, which was either Bolgard 2 or Wide Strike, or you had to go to a non-transgenic. Those were the options that were out there. Now, what made this more significant, the most significant to Georgia, is that we had one single variety, one single gene variety, and that being Delta Pine 555BR, which accounted for approximately 85% of our acres. So losing this technology was a big deal for us. Delta Pine 555, through our University of Georgia test and through on-farm and in-county large plot tests, had proven beyond the shadow of a doubt to be superior in terms of yield to any other varieties and technologies that were available at that time. So this was a concern. I did a study back in 2007 that estimated that the net loss in both farm and gen income from the loss of Delta Pine 555 was estimated at over $36 million. This loss was based on this yield difference that we estimated at the time based on varieties and technologies that were presently in the market at that time. So the question is, have we improved in yield? What has actually happened in Georgia in terms of our varieties and yields since the elimination of 555 and all other single gene technologies? So what I want to present to you this afternoon is just the beginning of analysis to look at the impact of the loss of 555 on profitability. Have we in fact had an impact on profitability through the loss of this single gene technology? More specifically, we want to look at changes in yield and fiber quality, and then look at changes in production costs, particularly seed technology rates and those inputs like herbicides and insecticides that go along with your technology choice. This is a look at the varieties. What I want to do, I want to present two pictures to you. I want to present the most recent 3 years prior to the elimination of 555 and other single gene technology. That would have been 07, 08, and 09. Those 3 years compared with the 3 years since the elimination of the technology and that we've had newer varieties planted and coming along. So let's compare 07 to 09 with 2010 versus 2012, or through 2012. What you see here is the varieties that we were planting at the time. You see Delta Pine 555 at the top, over 80% of our crop in those 3 years. One thing I want you to notice, and this is very important, and I'll come back to this in the last slide when we conclude. We had 2G technologies available in as early as 2007 in this data, for example. You see some wide strike varieties there. In 2007, we get along into, again, 2008, and then in 2009, we had the B2, the Bolgar 2s come along. We had these technologies available, and yet farmers chose not to use them. So this tells us that technology is not the only factor in the equation in terms of trying to decide what to plant. But 555, as you see, was our predominant variety, as I said, although we started to see, particularly in 2009, that last year. One of the things that we were doing through our UGA Extension and Education programs, particularly in 2008 and 2009, we were trying to convince growers to begin to look at some of these new technologies because we knew 555's time was limited. And we wanted them to begin on a small scale to look at some newer varieties on their farm. And you see a little bit of this happening in 2009, but not much. They really did not, even in 2009, begin to move toward these two gene varieties and other technologies, although we knew the single gene technology was about to expire. We now look at the most previous three years since we've lost 555 and since the single gene technology has been expired. A couple of things that I want to point out to you here. Probably first and foremost, we're seeing a much wider range of, we don't have a single variety anymore that kind of dominates the landscape. It's anybody's ball game out there right now. And beginning in 2009, the newer Delta Pine varieties were well accepted. The Phytogen varieties, some of those were also accepted well. Particularly if you look in 2012, we had a big jump in the Phytogen, the wide stripe variety, particularly Phytogen 499. That one variety accounting for almost a third of our acreage. And it's not a coincidence that Phytogen 499 was also a variety that was a top yielder in our OVTs 3 years in a row. So are we selecting technologies here, or are we still selecting on the basis of yield? I contend we're selecting on the basis of yield and not on technology choice. This is kind of a longer range view. If you look back just at summing it all up in terms of technology, if you look particularly now in 2012, we're about half of our crop is in B2RF. Most of those obviously being the Delta Pine varieties. That's what we plant a lot of in Georgia and the Southeast. But then you see it also 40% of the crop now being wide stripe varieties, the wide stripe technology. One of the things that's happened since we lost the single gene technology, and I'll get into this in the production cost, these two gene cottons, whether it's Bolgar 2 or Wide Strike, come bundled with Roundup Flex. Not Roundup, Roundup Flex. So when we lost the single gene technology and had to move to something else, we moved not only to a two-gene cotton, which is more expensive both in terms of the seed and the technology fee, but we also moved from a Roundup Ready to a Roundup Flex, which is also more expensive in the way of the fees. All these varieties, all these technologies have great value and have great benefit to the grower. But the point I'm making is when we shifted over from single gene, we not only switch to a two-gene cotton, the fact that they're bundled with Roundup Flex means we got that too. whether we wanted it or not, we got it. One of the fallbacks on 555, one of the criticisms of it was that, we went through a period of time where we had some pretty bad fiber quality in Georgia cotton and took a lot of criticism for it. Some of that was directed toward 555. People were saying our quality's poor because this is the variety that we're growing. I don't think that linkage was ever made, but the implication was out there. But I do want you to see what's happened to fiber quality over the past 6 years. Look at 07, 08, and 09. Those are the last 3 years in which we still had almost 85% of our crop planted in 555. And you compare that to the most recent 3 years where we've gone to these other varieties. You see a tremendous difference. The staple has gotten better. The percent of shorter staple, 33 or shorter, in our bales, that has really gone down. And then the big criticism we had on 555 was uniformity. Our uniformity has definitely gotten better. Back in 07, 08, and 09, we had between 25 and 30% of our crop that was less than 80% uniformity. Now it's all that sort of thing is almost non-existent now. So without question, I mean, there are a lot of things that impact fiber quality. Weather obviously is one of them. But you can see what's happened to our fiber quality the most recent 3 years compared to the last 3 years that we had 555 as a major part of our yield portfolio there in Georgia. Very quickly to try to move toward a wrap up here, this is a look at yields. And to tell you what you're looking at here, this is 555 in the gold bar there. That red bar, let me explain what that is. That's the top yielder in that 1 year. So this is not the same variety necessarily every year. It's the top yielder in that particular year. And then the green bar is only the varieties that were common across all 3 years. Okay? So you get a little better picture of when we look at varieties in the state of Georgia, what we recommend growers to do is look not only at yield, but also stability. How does that variety compare at different locations, under different conditions? It may be good 1 year, it may be a dog the next year. We really stress that growers look at stability in the yield, not just yield alone. So what this shows you, this is under non-irrigated conditions, that back prior to the elimination or the loss of the single gene technology, we did have some years where a single variety here or there would out-yield 555. But we didn't have, but those varieties were not as consistent. When you look at the varieties that were common in all 3 years, 555 still out-yielded them. If you look at irrigated yields, you see pretty much the same story. Okay, you'll have some years where 555 got out-yielded, but on average, across all 3 years, if you look at common varieties, 555 yielded better. Now I want us to look at the newer varieties, how those have compared. Let's look at the last 3 years. The first bar you see here is 555, what it averaged 07 to 09, the last 3 years that we had it, versus the top yielder the last 3 years, the top five and the top 10 the last 3 years. What you see under non-irrigated conditions, and again, this is where you have to not draw too much here because under non-irrigated, weather always comes into play. But the last 3 years under non-irrigated conditions, these newer varieties have not quite come up to where 555 was back in 07 through 09. But again, weather could be a factor there. If you look at irrigated, where weather is not so much of a problem, where we've got water, you see a little different story, don't you? You see that these newer varieties have yielded better, as well or better than 555 did back in its time. This is just a look at the production cost side. This is based on 2.5 seed per foot, 36-inch rows. Both of that is common in Georgia. That's what we do. The seed and technology fees, really you don't see very much difference there. Not much difference regardless of your technology. The GLB2 out there, that's the Glytol Liberty Link cotton, the new one from Bayer, Fibermax. And then you see the herbicides in each program. And when I calculated these numbers, when I did the GLB2, I thought I'd made a mistake. But let me tell you what's happening there. You're using Liberty in that system versus sometimes generic glyphosate, which is pretty cheap, back over under the Roundup Flex systems. So you've got two things going on here. The timing and the applications and the materials are pretty similar. But the reason that herbicide cost is so high is that, again, you've got Liberty in the system versus a $15 a gallon generic glyphosate. And secondly, because it's not a Roundup Flex variety, you don't qualify for the Monsanto rebate programs, which can be as much as $20 an acre. So, you know, we're using some of the same chemistry in the Glytol Liberty Link system, like dual, warrant, whatever. Some of that same chemistry is in there that we were using in the Roundup Flex system, but because you're not planting a Roundup Ready Flex variety, you don't qualify for the rebates. So those two things are going on there. And that's why the herbicide cost and then the total cost, as you see, are a little bit higher. In summary, to wrap up here, in general, yields appear to no longer be a concern. I think in general, particularly when you consider the weather, I think our yields currently on these newer varieties do rival 555. And I want to commend the industry for really stepping up and bringing to the plate some very good cotton. Back before we lost 555, there were a lot of concerns because we didn't have anything out there that would compete. And I think the industry has really stepped up to the plate and put some things out there right now that are doing very well. So those concerns that we had, I think, are no longer founded. And that's to the industry's benefit for getting those varieties in the pipeline and getting them done. Fiber quality has definitely improved. The third bullet here, I think yield continues to be the number one factor in variety section and quite selection, and quite frankly, in technology selection. I think our growers can make any technology work. I think we can find a way to control weeds and grass and control pests in our cotton, regardless of the technology. But our growers have proved to us, and we've done research that dates back some, that Cotton Incorporated funded back 7-8 years ago. We've done work in Georgia that proves time after time after time that yield is the factor that growers look at. Not technology, not variety. They're looking at yields. We can make any technology work, but give me the pounds. And that's what's important. And we saw that even back in 07, 08, and 09 when we had two gene cottons, both Bolgar 2 and Wide Strike available. Our growers didn't plant them because they didn't yield. We still had 555. The seed and technology cost has increased. Again, I mentioned that because the Bolgar 2 and Wide Strike most often come bundled with Flex, Roundup Flex. And lastly, these newer technologies do have value. Our cost has increased because of the way that things are bundled now. increase in seed cost and in technology fees. But these newer technologies do have value to the grower, and they do add a lot of flexibility in our weed control and our insect control. The Roundup Flex gives us flexibility, and this new Glytol Liberty Link is also going to give us flexibility in our systems. That's all I have. I'll end there.